Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Alrighty, we are back, and we're going to play a clip from Steve Bannon at the CPAC. Boy, I've been listening. They have a lot of energy, Joe, a lot of energy there at CPAC, and here you had
young people.
Yeah, that was good, but you know what else you had? You had the presidents of several countries there, okay? That Javier Milei from Argentina, the president down there, a number of them. Well, maybe we'll go through some of these. You had the fellow from Chile, El Salvador. He was there at CPAC from several of those countries, and they came out to congratulate and talk to Donald Trump and tell him that they're supporting him, too, with their countries. And so, boy, we're seeing a return to patriotism, aren't we?
We sure are. And patriotism, rule of law, and common sense.
Yep.
You know, I mean, several of those things kind of go together. The Constitution, there's a lot of common sense in there because it's based what? On God's Ten Commandments. It's based on the teaching of the New Testament, and it's very logical, rational, and it works.
Alrighty, here's Steve Bannon, and he sounds very, very excited at the CPAC. Bring it on.
Onward to victory! Onward to victory! Onward to victory! Is there anything going to stop us from winning on 5 November of 2024? I can't hear you. Is anything going to stop us? Today, in this very hall, the greatest president of the 20th and 21st century sat here and said he's a political dissident. He's persecuted. That is a mark upon our country because it's absolutely true, 100% true. And why is he a dissident? You know why? Because he gave us 3 years of peace and prosperity before he was hit with a Chinese bioweapon. And they stole the 2020 election. Media, I want you to suck on this. I want the White House to suck on this. You lost in 2020. Donald Trump is the legitimate president of the United States. Trump won. Trump won. Trump won. Trump won. Trump won. Trump won. You know how we know categorically that Trump won now? Because the New York Times and MSNBC and the Washington Post understand we're about to out them, right? We're going to adjudicate this after victory. If Biden actually won, he would be a revered hero to them. If Kamala Harris had really been the wingman, she'd be a revered hero. The New York Times is throwing Biden under the bus every day and backing him up over him. That shows you they know he's an illegitimate regime head. He's a usurper in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. To every working class Democrat and populist in the Democratic Party, when we get to the White House and go through and adjudicate the fact that 2020 was stolen, and this illegitimate regime, what they've done to destroy this country. Nobody that loved this country would do what he's doing to the country, would they? Would anybody think about it for a second? What if our framers came back here, came back today, and saw 10 million illegal alien invaders that they have gamed the system to bring here? Nobody. Give me that again, ma'am. Lock them up. All of them. Garland, Ray, Biden, all of them. Mayorkas. What they did to this country is unforgivable. And we will not forget it, and we will never forgive it until justice is done. Now, some of our folks may say justice in this case is retribution. I will let that be defined as we go forward. But we're not going to back off this. President Donald J. Trump is the greatest president of the 20th and 21st century. Think about it for a second. When they stole the election and he went back to Mar-a-Lago, he could have played the game. He could have been part of the system. He could have gotten the big book deal and had the memorial films made about him and, you know, built more golf courses and had a life of leisure as a billionaire. Should have and deserve, and with his beautiful family. What did he do? He came back to lead his country and say, I'm not going to let them steal this election, and I'm not going to ever let them destroy the United States of America. Like the great Roman general Cincinnatus, he has returned from the plow to save his country. Only two other men in the history of this republic, General Washington in the Revolution and the Foundation, and Abraham Lincoln in the Civil War, had the personal fate and destiny of an individual be inextricably linked to the fate and destiny of this republic. Donald John Trump is the third person. And his fate and destiny is to have the greatest political comeback in American history. And on November 5th, to drive the vermin out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Biden, you and your crime family are nothing but trash, okay? And on the 20th of January of 2025, we're going to take out the trash. There's no compromise here. You, by 10 million illegal aliens, you got $35 trillion of debt, and you're not going to stop $2 trillion of deficits a year. You've stumbled into a kinetic war in the Eurasian landmass. You got two carrier battle groups in the Red Sea protecting the elites of Europe and putting our sailors at risk. You've got a third world war. We got debt out of control. It's going to destroy and bankrupt this republic. And you have an invasion of 10 million illegal alien invaders and migrant crimes out of control. And the people being destroyed are the black and Hispanic working class in this country. And we're not going to allow it. Every black person, every Hispanic citizen in our country, vote for Trump. Trump will set you free because right now they're enslaving you. They call you racist, they call you xenophobe, they call you nativist. Nothing could be farther from the truth, because they can't win the intellectual argument. What they have to do is try to smear you. And you don't care because you know that's not true, and the facts are not true. The facts are not true. And that is what Trump's program is. That's his biggest crime. You know his biggest crime? You know why they want to send him to prison for 700 years? You know why they want to bankrupt him, take all his money away, $500 million what? Fine right now? Take him off the ballot, defamation charges every day, all over the place, from Atlanta to D.C. You heard Peter Navarro lay it all out. You know what his crime is, and not the things they're charging him with. That's all crap, and you know it's crap, and they know it's crap. His crime is that he put you in the room. In D.C., in the imperial capital, not in the room, not in the deal. He put the American working man and woman in the room and at the head of the table, and they hate him for it. They think he's a traitor to the ruling class of this country. You've seen with
the Sound of Freedom folks up here and throughout the day, throughout the week. The crimes, not just of this administration, but the crimes of the Federal Reserve, the crimes of the big investment banks, the overlords of easy money on Wall Street, the tech oligarchs, the combination that think they're the ruling class in this country. Well, Donald Trump and the MAGA movement say you're not. And on November 5th, we're going to have an up or down vote on that. And my money is on the American people and the MAGA movement and Donald John Trump to turf you out and to break your grip on the greatest nation on earth. This is a crusade of righteousness. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are we onward to victory? Will anything stop you? Are you onward to victory? Are you onward to victory? Are you onward to victory? When you set out to take Vienna, take Vienna. Thank you.
Are you on way to victory?
We are on our way.
Alrighty. So let's take a look at what he was saying. One of the things when he made that point that we have that great big sign right out in front of the church, and it says Donald Trump is still the legitimate president of the United States.
Amen.
And boy, I'm going to tell you that really has bothered the fake news media out there. They stopped by to ask me how I could do that, and I don't think they liked my answers too much, but anyhow, people are starting to realize
this. Well, it's pretty easy. You made the sign, you put it, you stuck it out so people could see it. I mean, it shouldn't be too hard to explain how you put it out, right?
Well, the question was, how can you do this? You're a 501c3. And I said, no.
Yes, I knew that.
We are not.
You aren't one.
We said we are an actual church. We're an actual church. And they said,
we're not a corporation. We're not controlled by the state. We're a New Testament church, right?
Right. So I set them down. I explained to them, here's what a church is. The church is the living body of Christ. A corporation is a non-living creation of the state. When you sign the 501c3, you agree that you are a non-living creation of the state. A church has Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone is its head. When you sign that 501c3, you agree that the state, not Christ, is your head. Okay, so I'm the pastor here of this congregation. When you have the 501c3, you agree that you're an agent. You're an agent for the state, and you're an intercessor between the assembly and the state. Or the other definition that they use is you're a spy for the state against the assembly. And so there's a lot of difference between a 501c3 corporation and a church. And
amen
so
end of that.
I set them down in my office to give them a little Bible study, and they were very, very confused when I was finished.
They really sat and listened. That's the part that surprised me. I figured they would have gotten up and left before you could have finished telling them the truth.
Well, the one young woman, I got a feeling she was sent there to say, go down there and get a story. Let's really go after this fundamentalist Baptist church, right? And so when she came in asking, how can you do this, this, and that, and when I explained things to her, I could see she was starting to cry. She had learned a lesson. She had really gotten a Bible lesson, and she realized just how much she didn't know, okay, about reality. But I was very gentle and nice, and I explained it to her very, here's the reality. And so that was it. They didn't really want to do anything more with me, okay? And so,
well, I know that before, many times we've been places where the press interviewed us and took stories, and boy, they took it back, and it was never used. They did not like anything we had to say.
Nope,
especially there at Notre Dame. They ask a lot of questions but didn't print anything, right?
You're absolutely right. And that happens a lot, and especially when Judge Roy Moore, when he called me and asked if I would speak for him there at the Supreme Court, I brought those men down. When I asked them, and I told the men that was with me, I said, watch this before this, before the interview. I says, watch what happens when I say the word communist. Watch what happens. You had all the fake news media there. They were all there with their cameras. And so this young woman, you had to be there, Joe. It was hot. I mean, it was really a hot and humid day. It was like, it seemed like 100% humidity.
Here in Alabama, yep, I've been there.
And somehow, this young woman didn't have a bit of a perspiration on her face at all. It's like her face was like it wasn't even really real, but young, pretty, blonde-headed girl. And she asked me, she said, what are you down here for? And I said, well... She said, what is this about? I says, we have two nations inhabiting one land. And she said, you do? I said, yeah. And she said, what are they? I said, well, these people here, you have the Christian Patriot nation, and then you have, now watch, I told the guys, when I say the word communist, watch what happens. And then you have, on the other side, the communist. Soon as I said communist, one of the cameramen said, that's the word. All the cameras shut off. All the cameras
right.
shut off. And so she turned her mic off. And I said, let me ask you something. I just gave you an interview. And I want you to do one thing here in front of these people for me. All I want you to do is just say the word communist. She said, I can't. I said, you've been told, don't ever look. That word roll off your tongue and underneath your nose, haven't you? She said, you're right. I'm not allowed to say it. But now she didn't say that on camera. She said it off camera. And there you go. That tells
yeah,
you.
Because then it's your word against hers. I never said that to them. Yeah, to those people.
Yep. All right,
but
speaking.
It goes along with, it goes along with the story I've got. I was able to sit down and watch Mark Levin this weekend. He spent about 30 minutes interviewing author Peter Schweitzer.
You know who Peter Schweitzer? Peter Schweitzer was very good friends with Larry Nichols. We had Peter on this program several times.
And he has written books that just, he was the lead on the Clinton crime family, all kinds of things. He's fabulous. If they've used a lot of this stuff, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. Anyway, he's got a new book. It's called Blood Money, Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China Kills America. Now, I went and listened to this, and then I went and looked up stories about this book, and all the articles I found were talking about how China is deliberately exporting these small, deadly devices that turn handguns into machine pistols as it seeks to destabilize the U.S. with street warfare. And two or three different places, from the Daily Mail to the even including the advertisement for the book on Amazon. But, yes, he did talk about that. But there were three big points he brought out. China's foot soldiers are the ones who control everything about the fentanyl link, that getting the fentanyl from China to America. They control making the precursor. There is a harbor in Mexico where this comes in. This precursor comes in. Chinese are there. There are Chinese nationals in Mexico. China shipped over these different manufacturing machines, these pill makers, and there are about 1,000 Chinese there, and they help take the precursor, mix it, and make the pills that they then give to the cartels, and that the cartels bring to America. Now, it used to be the drug cartels would launder their drug money in South America. But now Peter's got proof and information. That's one thing about him. He always, his facts, he's never been sued because nobody's been able to challenge his facts in his book. So I'll make that clear. Everything he told about the Clintons, he told about, you know, of Biden, they've all been true. Nobody's been able to prove him wrong. So he says that now they're laundering their drug money through the Chinese banks. Bingo. China is behind all of this from start to finish, number one. Number two, then, he's talking about how, you know, these Chinese have set up business partners with these different cartels. And there were a Chinese gangster that was set up the Sinaloa cartel, is the one who primarily handles all the fentanyl, that their guy, I can't pronounce his name, they call him the White Wolf, but he was set in place by these Chinese gangsters to run the Sinaloa cartel to bring the stuff in. That's why China Joe never talks about fentanyl or China, that kind of thing. Then he went on, talked about how Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, has got ties to Chinese organized crime and how members of his transition team had ties to known people involving Chinese organized crime. Adam Schiff was under FBI investigation for what? Being involved with Chinese gangs, Chinese crime. Received a large $100,000 campaign donation from one of the sources. Mitch McConnell, our rhino there that is really China-loving communist from Kentucky. China laughs at our U.S. sanctions, and Chinese businessmen are involved in this drug trade, and one of these guys was given a big award in China. He goes down the list how the corruption in America, you know, and the Democrats are pushing the Russian collusion. The real problem is Chinese collusion. We've got Republicans, Democrats, you know, all working through. We know the Biden crime family worked with the Chinese. So he names names, Mitch McConnell, Adam Schiff, Governor Gavin Newsom. And this book, folks, I think it's really one of the quotes he had. America's on fire, and China's standing there holding an empty can of gasoline. Their CDC's purpose is to create chaos in America. And it goes on, and there's a lot more, but I don't have time. When this book comes out tomorrow, my wife is going to order it first thing in the morning. It's called Blood Money, Peter Schweitzer. Why the powerful turn a blind eye while China kills Americans. And you won't get the news. You won't get the truth from looking on the Internet. I looked around, and so far I've not found any of the real truth in his book. But I gave you some highlights. There's some powerful, powerful stuff in that book, Pastor Ernie. And I'm going to try and see if we can get a hold of him and get him on this program.
All righty, very good. He's been here, like I said, several times before. Also, you know, first of all, again, you know, everything he said about China is true, but, you know, they could not do any of what they're doing without the help of the communists here that they call Democrats. They could not keep our border open. They could not keep the child sex trafficking going. They could not keep all of the drugs coming into this country without the help of the Communist Party Democrats right here.
It's kind of like a drug dealer. You could walk up to my house and you could sit outside and try and sell drugs 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and pretty soon, you know, if you had no buyers, you would have to go somewhere else, wouldn't you?
Yep.
And if we didn't have the corrupt officials who take the bribes and take the benefits from China, it wouldn't happen. You have to have the collusion. You have to have the crooks.
And they're helping to destroy their own country.
And their own family. Yeah. Their own families. They don't think about that. Think about children, grandchildren, future. Fentanyl kills people. They put fentanyl now in things. We're always seeing where somebody, they were just taking a little one of these designer drugs, you know, but it had fentanyl, and it turned kind of a fun party into a death. And these people don't understand it may be one of their children, one of their grandchildren that dies of fentanyl that they helped bring in from China. And it's one of those horrible things, but that's what's going to happen eventually is the entire nation will suffer. They were rich and famous for a while, but the penalty down the road is going to be pretty high.
Yep. All right. Free speech coming to an end in 2024, warns Paul Craig. And again, this is why we said, I was telling the folks why they need to support radio programs like this one, this radio program and others. A somewhat subtle shift is taking place in the powers that be morph their constitutional role from protecting American Democratic Republic to protecting the so-called sanctity of the democratic institutions, the latter of which involves silencing free speech. Instead of representing we the people, government authorities, and the puppet masters who pull their strings now claim to represent the so-called democratic institutions that underpin modern society. This shift means that the democratic institutions are now to be protected at all costs, even from the U.S. Constitution that threatens their existence. Paul Craig Roberts says the United States is being redefined in such a way as to eliminate the constitutional protections that has long made America unique, things like free speech and the right to bear arms being two of the biggest threats to the establishment's agenda for the nation and the world. According to Roberts, democratic institutions are defined by the establishment, do not include Congress and the representative government America's founding fathers envisioned, nor are they the rule of law coupled with independent judiciary. No. They are the institutions of censorship that really started to make their presence known around the time Donald Trump was elected president, as well as the lead up to the Wuhan coronavirus pandemic and beyond. Well, one of the things, the problem they have with Trump so much, Joe, is they feel he should have been one of the elite, one of the very wealthy. In fact, he was a Democrat, and then a couple things happened to him. One, somebody witnessed to him. He started believing in the Lord Jesus. Two, then he changed his party affiliation. And I have seen in him since 2016 or since before that, a change, a spiritual growth in him, because he was just a babe in the Lord. But I'm sure I see God's anointing on him. And the proof of that, too, is the Bible says, touch not my anointed, and I'm seeing a number of those that have done just that. More trouble for Fannie. Big Fannie, Fulton County DA Fannie Willis and lover Nathan Wade exchanged 11,865 text messages before he was hired to prosecute Trump. And they both lied about their affair under oath. And so Fannie Willis, Nathan Wade are prosecuting President Trump and 18 associates in Fulton County, filing false papers and making false statements to the courts. Now Fannie and her man have been caught doing the same thing, except they lied about it under oath in court, Jonathan Turley says. The latest revelations against Fannie and Nathan Wade could not be more problematic for the two lovebirds. A new court filing revealing this past week that Fannie and Nathan exchanged 11,865 text messages in the months leading up to their famed case against President Donald Trump and 18 associates for allegedly lying about the 2020 election. It's obvious Willis and Wade lied under oath about the length of their affair. Now the two lovers could and should face charges for committing adultery or perjury. This could be the end of the line for Fanny and Nathan. I understand
The court is also ruling that the attorney for her lover is going to have to come and testify. Normally you don't have an attorney testify about his client, but because of all the lies he's told, the judge is going to have his attorney come and testify under oath. So they're in pretty hot water when you force an attorney to come in and tell about his client.
Yeah, well, not only that, but that judge that was in this case, because he had donated his money to her campaign, he's being taken off the case. He's removed from the case, and it looks like Fanny and her lover are going to face him, possibly to be disbarred.
Yeah, so, it couldn't happen to two nicer people.
Well, go ahead.
One big story out there, where did I put it? I stuck it aside. Anyway, this is distressing. From the Daily Signal, and it's in other places on the Internet, Caitlin McGraw is a female incarcerated there in Kenosha, Wisconsin, in a woman's prison. She's serving a sentence for having narcotic drugs, jumping bail. And she's been there for over a year. She's been sending distress messages to her fiancé, Raymond Slater. And she's describing a transgender prisoner named Mark Campbell, with whom she shares a cell and a bunk bed. And she's expressing extreme anxiety about her cellmate's constant masturbating, sexual comments, aggressive behavior. And she was trying to find out why Campbell got locked up, why he's in there. And it's getting very, very weird. And some of the stuff in here, very adult. And transsexual has a very powerful odor that's very sickening. And it turns out that he had a surgery, and part of the surgery he has to keep doing something very bad to keep the opening from closing, and it creates a very bad smell. He keeps telling her, "Do you want to see my privates?" And he goes on and says things. And she's a small woman. He's a pretty good-sized male who now has been castrated. But you go through this, and I go, what kind of world? And the man also was a sex offender and had guilty of sexual offenses against women and girls. So it seems like in this article, quite a few of these men who have been charged with sex crimes against, you know, girls and women are, when they get arrested, going through the I'm a tranny or transitioning male to female. And she's just talking about the behavior is totally disgusting, but they don't listen to her. He just says, oh, this lady's a little crazy, and they all just laugh. And it's like he's treated with respect and like he's a VIP. And her pleas to get her out, they're finally going to transfer her, but they're sending her for a mental evaluation because of her complaints. Boy, is this world turned upside down on its head, right?
You're telling me, boy. Here's a little bit. This is surprising, if you will. You know, Jeb Bush and Donald Trump have not been, they're not kissing cousins. You can
right,
bet
they're
on
not
that.
On good terms. Let's put it that way.
But Jeb Bush speaks out and warns that the government's weaponizing against Donald Trump and Elon Musk poses a grave threat to businesses in America, okay? It's about time.
Bush's.
After 91 bogus lawfare indictments and over $600 million in penalties, against Donald Trump. A few honest businessmen and political leaders are finally speaking out. The former Florida governor, along with Joe Lonsdale, the co-founder of Palantir, published the op-ed in the Wall Street Journal this weekend condemning the politicized activist courts that are targeting conservative leaders for their political gain. This does not happen in America, okay? Joe Lonsdale told CNN, "The whole system right now is being weaponized, and it is scary, and it is wrong. This is what happens in emerging markets. It's not what happens in great countries like America, and we need to stop it." Kinokoa, the great posted their remarks on Twitter via the Wall Street Journal. Jeb Bush is warning that governments weaponizing against Donald Trump and Elon Musk poses a grave, grave threat to the businesses and a rule of law in the United States. This is how far these politicized prosecutors and activists and judges have veered into hazardous territory. We've been talking about this for years, haven't we?
A long, long time, yep.
Every American has a right to be critical of Mr. Trump's politics. One of us ran against him in 2000. Wait a minute. One of us ran against him in 2016, or Mr. Musk's public persona. But equality before the law is precious. And these rulings represent a crisis not only for the soundness of our courts, but for the businesses environment that has allowed the U.S. to prosper. If these rulings stand, the damages could cascade through the economy, creating fear of arbitrary enforcement against entrepreneurs who seek public office and raise their voices as citizens in a way that politicians dislike. There you go.
Wow. If we have time, I've got one more fairly big story.
Well, before we do that, we have a prayer request that has come on.
Oh,
and
yes.
There is a fella whose name is Ron Compa. Ron, he's 60 years old. He's had 4 heart attacks, and he has 100% blockage. And the hospital has sent this guy home. And so his family is in distress. And so they're asking it for prayer. So
would you die, right?
Yeah. And as far as I don't think he's saved. As far as they know, he's not saved. We don't know that, but as far as we know, so for Ron Compa, would you want to ask a prayer for him, Joe?
Sure would. Dear Heavenly Father, I have no idea who this person is. I have no idea if he's short, tall, fat, black, white, brown, doesn't matter, because, Lord, you know everything about Ron. And the most important thing is the condition of his heart. And, Lord, I would just pray that as he's been sent home facing certain death, that people would be able to reach him with the word of the gospel of the glorious grace, your glorious grace, the forgiveness, being able to become born again, a child of the kingdom, that before he goes, he would be able to call upon you as Lord and Savior. And, Lord, if you're calling this person home, it's his time. Sounds like the doctors have given up. You can do all things. All things are possible through you. And if it be your will to heal a man who the world says has no chance of living, then it would be a wonderful testimony and blessing to the world, but we leave it with thy will be done in this case. But we just ask that, you know, you turn his heart to you in every way, and that you would be with the family who is upset and worried and is going to have to deal with this at home and a very, very hard situation for all those who love Ron. And we just put it into your wonderful, capable hands, Lord, and just thy will be done, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Joe. Now go ahead with your article.
Well, we've talked about the high and mighty. We mentioned this some time back, but it's a lot more has come to light. There is a large group of high-powered individuals involved in a multi-state brothel operation. And we talked about how this was happening. They've been trying to keep their identities secret ahead of this sex trafficking trial. And they're trying to claim that they have a right to privacy. They don't want their names out there. There have been six of these high-end brothels in the suburbs of Boston and Washington, D.C., and they have a list of the clients. They're high-powered lawmakers, executives, military top brass, and they've been utilizing this system. They're all under federal indictment, and they're trying to desperately keep their identities a secret. Gee, I wonder why. The intel experts think these brothels were masterminded by a South Korean woman, targeting especially these people for, you know, political targeting to get information. They believe this is a communist play, and the attorneys are trying to downplay all this and pushing to keep secrecy. But what was interesting is these brothels kept detailed records along with a lot of cash. Now, they had, before they could go in, the funny thing was, they actually had to kind of fill out a little information sheet. Yeah, they had to give their names and addresses, where they worked. They had to give certain information before they would be allowed in. It was like, well, we're protecting this, and, you know, and it's going to be real safe, so you've got to give us some information or you can't come in. So here are these high, mighty, powerful people who deal with security in the United States, an important thing, had to go and, you know, give out information. How stupid could these people be to give personal information that could be used against you? Yeah, the exact wording was, aspiring clients had to submit a membership application before they could book appointments. Required documentation included government-issued ID, phone and email contacts, employer information, and credit cards. Pastor Ernie, have you ever heard of anything so stupid in your entire life? These are defense contractors, military officials, and one of these brothels were just, 15-minute drive from the White House, from the Pentagon, all that. And now they're all worried that, you know, and they were paying, it says, paying $600-plus for encounters with these, quote, predominantly Asian women. And they were called honeypots. Does that ring a bell about a Congress critter and his honeypot?
Yeah.
And he's still out there. I saw a story on him. He's only got like three or four people in his group. I can't think of his name right now. I'm working on it. But they've been taking overseas junkets, spending huge amounts of cash. This guy is spending his political money like it... was growing on trees, and yet he was the one with the...
You're talking about Eric Swalwell.
Eric Swalwell, thank you. I just could not think of the name. Had the Chinese mistress, and the article they're talking about, they're spending money like it's going out of style, money that's supposed to be for campaigning. The guy's a crook, the guy's a phony, and... He's, as long as in the Democrat Party, as long as you tell the party line, you can get away with anything.
Yeah, it seems that way.
This is a shame, America. America needs to realize the shame that the world's looking at us. Just they're either laughing, mocking, shaking their heads, and most of us ought to be ashamed that we let the country get into this state of affairs.
Now, Joe, you know, I can tell you I'm not, because I've done everything I can over these years.
I wouldn't speak to you, but the people out there that should be ashamed know who they are. They're the ones who have watched but have done nothing. They haven't joined an organization. They haven't voted. They haven't stood up. They haven't written their congressmen or their senators. They haven't demonstrated. They haven't done anything, and they're the ones who need to be ashamed.
Yep. That's, you know, what was it that Abraham Lincoln said? For good men to remain silent when they should speak out makes cowards of men and destroys nations.
Yeah, and that's exactly what is happening, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, of course, that's why they don't teach history anymore, because you don't want to tell young people things like that. They might actually learn something important.
Yeah, well, again, today, in the public school system, one of the biggest problems is they're allowing now clubs of Satan, satanic clubs on the school grounds now. I mean, they've gone all the way, okay? And so this is why. And then they're complaining that so many people keep pulling. They're complaining about homeschoolers. And saying that's the reason that the kids aren't learning in the public schools. They're not learning which bathrooms they should use and what gender they are, because they're not going to school.
And well, they're not learning about white privilege, you know.
Right.
We know that Jesus said that he gave us all the same blood type.
Absolutely.
Red, yellow, black, or white. That, you know, when you get a blood transfusion in the military in combat, they don't ask what color the man was, the soldier was that donated the blood. They ask what your blood type is, right?
Yep. Well, Joe,
world, we're going to remember that.
How much time do I have there, Ken? Okay. Joe, do you know, the question is, how simple is it to be saved, Joe? There was the Fellowship Track League wrote this little track, and I think it's very good. And here's what they're saying. It is as simple as entering a door, where the Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, in John 10:9. How simple is it to be saved? It's as simple as calling for help. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Be saved. Amen.
Romans 10:13. And so how do you do that? You call upon the name of the Lord. First of all, the first thing you have to do is what? You have to pray to the Father and ask for forgiveness of your sins, huh?
Exactly. Well, the first thing is Jesus knocks at the door to your heart. You have to kind of open the door and let him come in, let his word fill your heart.
Right. And so here he says, it's, you know, the first, but repentance is always required for salvation.
Always.
It's as simple as coming when called. Come unto me, all you that labor one and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. You know, if people really understood these things, it's a terrible thing. I was listening to another preacher preaching, and he was preaching to a large group of an assembly, and he said, I hate to say it. He said, but most of the people here tonight are going to hell. And this assembly, I don't think, was a church assembly. He just got up to speak, and he was right. And he quoted the Lord Jesus saying that many are called, but few will enter. Many will come, but few, again, will enter. Many
are called, but few are chosen.
Or few are chosen, yeah. And so here, and that's reality. But it doesn't have, people don't have to do that. They just do. They don't really believe. They don't really believe. It's as simple as receiving a gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. It's as simple as drinking water. Jesus said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give, him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up for everlasting life. It is as simple as eating bread. Jesus said, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. I am the living bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. John 6:35-51. It's as simple as believing God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 6:47. So many people, Joe, stumble at the simplicity of salvation. They often feel they must do something to earn or deserve such a wonderful offer. Yes, something had to be done so that salvation could be offered to us freely. But Jesus did it all. All you must do is believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again. Then you must receive him in your heart. Why not make the all-important decision, which will transform your life and bring you into a great relationship with God? It's as simple, and it works.
And will fill the void that is in all mankind, a void to know their Creator, to know the Father that created them.
All right. How much time do I have there, Ken? Are you willing to settle the matter of your eternal destiny? Will you do it? You can right this moment. That is, if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you will accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, pray this prayer with all of your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner and need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from my sin. I now ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. I am willing, by God's grace, to follow and obey Christ as the Lord of my life and all of my life. That's all you have to do, folks out there.
And you will never regret it. I have never met anyone that's given themselves to Jesus that's ever regretted. They've all found peace and joy, happiness that they have never known before.
Amen. We're counting down. Where am I at? Okay. We're counting down. It's been a very interesting program tonight, folks, and we have some very interesting programs coming your way tomorrow. So remember this. God is on the throne. He is in complete control. And the only thing you have to fear is God. You don't have to fear anything else. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. Well, it's that time, Joe, that we get to every night when we say good night.
Good night.
We say God bless. And always. And I do mean always. Keep fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.